WHAS.
All right. Feeling good on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. We're about to have a guy on that used to come on when that super good-looking, tough guy Leland used to do this show.
Hey, I was here also.
Oh, wait. Yes, you too. Yes, super tough, good-looking guy Dave Jennings,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
We're going to bring him in now because he's a lot of fun to talk to. U.S. Representative Kentucky is Thomas Massey. Hello, Thomas Massey.
Hello. I'm ready to get sassy with Massey.
Oh, there we go.
We are.
I love it, man. I love it. First, we start with some easy stuff, and we'll get to the crux of what's going on. What was on the Thanksgiving table for you and your family on last week?
Oh, my wife hosted, and so we had turkey. We had my favorite oyster dressing. We had sweet potatoes, green beans,
Ooh,
corn from our garden,
sweet
mashed potatoes. It was a big spread. And we got the extra big paper plates.
Oh, we did the same thing.
You did not.
Yes, we did.
You know what, the paper plates?
Yes, extra thick paper plates with turkey designs
stop
on there.
It, stop it. You did
Our
not.
Family's cool with that.
No.
The trees are already dead.
But you grow a lot of your own food, Thomas, correct?
Yes, we do. We raise chickens and beef and ducks and then usually a garden every year.
That's sweet. All right. Okay, so let's get to what you are suing Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Today, the judge, and the remarkable thing is the case has not been thrown out. The judge will hear oral arguments in Massey v. Pelosi in a federal court here in D.C.
Now tell us the story. Give us some backstory, because
there
was an issue where you guys were fined for not wearing masks. Now, most of us listening think, I'm sorry, $500 fine.
I know, right?
We're going to spend more than that to litigate it. If that's not a frivolous lawsuit, what is? Why is it not frivolous?
It's not frivolous because in extracting the fine, she violated the Constitution. And we've got a lot of petty tyrants in the United States that are taking cues from the big tyrants in Washington, D.C. She's also a hypocrite. Look, if it's a high-dollar fundraiser or a swanky restaurant or a $5,000 grip and grin, or even if she's seated in her own chair, she doesn't wear a mask, but she says we have to. So we started this battle back in June because she was – when the CDC said you don't have to wear a mask anymore, Pelosi said, nope, everybody's wearing a mask until you all get vaccinated. And I'm like, whoa, this is morphing from a mask mandate into a vaccine mandate. So I led a revolt. 10 of us went to the floor not to evade the requirement but to openly defy it on C-SPAN. And, of course, she fined us. And here's where she ran afoul of the Constitution. The Constitution says the House makes its own rules and can punish its members. And so the courts usually don't get involved in the food fights that we have in Congress. But the Constitution also says we can't diddle with our own salaries unless the Senate agrees and the President signs it. That's the base Constitution. Our salaries are set by law. The 27th Amendment, which was only ratified in 1992, but it was proposed back when the Bill of Rights was proposed, says that our salaries can't be varied without an intervening election. Now, a lot of people think that's just so we don't give ourselves a raise until we have to get reelected. But the reality is they said vary because they knew that a speaker could use the salary as a cudgel to get people to do things. So she violated the Constitution, so that's what the judge will hear today. We're going to make our case.
How much is the lawsuit for?
So I've been fined $500. One of my co-litigants has run up a $50,000 bill, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And Ralph Norman, I don't know how much fines he's got. I still don't wear the mask. I've just figured out how to evade. I pop in. I vote. If I see the sergeant at arms coming to issue the warning, I just pop back in the cloakroom. And so I've managed for 4 months to evade the mask police. It's ridiculous. But so here's the thing. I want people to know we're not using taxpayer dollars to litigate this. We're using private funds. But Nancy Pelosi is using your taxpayer dollars to defend it. But ultimately, this is about the Constitution. It's important not because of $500 out of my salary. It's important because a lot of people across the United States are having their paychecks reduced or their jobs threatened in order to try and get them to take a test, wear a mask, or take a vaccine.
So what is the end game? Because now we have this variant, has some people salivating, ooh, mask mandates, we can control people's behavior again. Yet, if you look at polling data, Tony, and you brought this up, the Americans are done.
4%. Locally, Dave's right. We just have a new, from Suffolk University Political Research Center in USA Today, did a local poll here in Louisville, Kentucky. Out of the 12 issues they had polled, COVID came in last. COVID-19 was where Louisville residents believe 4% of Louisville residents believe COVID-19 is an issue.
Listen, there are Democrats who are telling me in the hallways, and I met one this morning, like, one of the good things about you all taking the majority back is we won't have to wear these daggone masks anymore. The Democrats hate it, too. So where does it all end? Well, you know, there's a new variant. I just published on Twitter a guide to evading the various variants. You know, remember, the Alpha variant only attacked after the curfew. It was inactive.
Oh, it was.
And then the
that was
Delta,
that was a variant that quit drinking, kind of like ex-smokers that suddenly become militant about smokers. That was that variant.
The Delta variant only attacked you on your way to your table. And once you got seated at the restaurant, it relented. And then the Omicron variant only spreads across border checkpoints that are manned with, and supervise the southern border. It's not possible for the Omicron variant to cross that border. So as long as you know all the various weaknesses of the variants, they're like superheroes, right? They've all got like some kryptonite weakness. You can use these guidelines that I published on Twitter with the Sassy with Massey hashtag to avoid the variants.
I think you brought up a very good point, and it reminds me back when Bevin was governor and there was a lot of Republicans that were against him but would vote with him because it was what you're supposed to do. Here you're telling me, and we all know that, when you get to D.C., it's like the D's and R's are kind of mixed all together. But when it's public, so here's my question to you, Thomas Massey, is you know, Democrats feel that way. There are Republicans that feel that there are Democrat great ideas. Why is it impossible? Why is it impossible to just vote the way you feel instead of Nancy's going to get mad at me or McConnell's going to get mad at me? Why does everyone have to fall in line?
Here's why. If they would offer separate bills, I could vote for some of them and vote against some of them. And I would cross party lines on certain bills, but not others. But what they do is they put it all in one giant bill.
Right.
They'll take 60 things. These should be 60 different bills. They put it in one bill. And they say, take it or leave it. And then at that point, it becomes a grudge match between the two parties. And so knowing it's going to be a party line vote, one party just excludes the other from writing the bill. They're just like, well, screw it. We're not going to work. We'll just write the whole bill and we'll just pass it ourselves because we're in the majority. What we need to do, guys, is get back to passing separate bills on separate topics. You can still get to 218 in the House and 60 in the Senate, but it won't always be the same 218 and the same 60 in the Senate on the various issues. There's some issues where, you know, I can even agree with John Yarmuth occasionally. I know that's going to hurt.
Right. We're going to isolate that sound, sir, and send that to.
It's very true. It's very true, Tony.
We all are waiting for that, Thomas. You know that, right? The American people are up. We're just tired of the whole voting your party line. Just vote your conscience if it's a good idea. But that makes sense. If they're stuffing 60 things into one bill, it makes it almost difficult, almost impossible to agree with all 60.
But, Thomas, it's not just the bill. You go back to Clarence Thomas, and Anita Hill was trotted out just like the Kavanaugh thing, yet 10 Democrats still voted to confirm Justice Thomas. That doesn't happen now.
It does not happen. The parties, by the way, the parties control a lot of the election money. It's the limits on donations to individual members of Congress, $2,900 a piece. But if you want to give money to the party, you can give over $100,000. And then the party uses that money to get members of Congress elected to their party. But guess what? Once your party gets you elected, then you owe your vote to them. And that's another problem. I know it sounds sort of unintuitive, but we probably need to lower the limits that you can give to parties and raise the limits that you can give to individual candidates, and that would keep us from being so party-oriented.
Long as we're talking D's and R's and labels, Thomas Massey, obviously conservatives use the word liberal as an evil thing and vice versa, yet some in your party say you're not even a Republican. You're a libertarian, for Pete's sake. How would you label you?
I'm a transpartisan. I'm a politician without a cloakroom. I don't know. I think bipartisan is a little kinky. So I... I mean, I don't love both parties.
America's kinky, though, sir.
Yes.
Bipartisan is kinky. Transpartisan just means you don't know which cloakroom to go into. And so that would be how I identify.
I would.
So you put a TP next to your
Thomas,
name.
Thomas, I wish there was more people like you. I'm so tired of the angry. Everyone's angry. There's D's that are so angry, and there's Republicans you talk to. You're like, oh, my gosh, why are you so pissed off?
By the way, I'm an equal opportunity, you know, offender. I ticked off John Boehner and Paul Ryan all the time. I never voted for Paul. I was the only Republican who wouldn't vote for Paul Ryan to be speaker.
I miss Boehner. Sorry. I miss not just his
blue eyes. His crying blue eyes.
He was at the Cincinnati airport once waiting in line, just like everybody else. He wanted to show he was a regular person. And a woman came up to him and said, "You look like that man who cries." And he turned to her and he said, "I am that man who cries."
But you got to admit, man, Boehner having a beer with the president at the time, and they were just the opposite sides of everything, it would never happen today.
No, actually, I regretted trying to get rid of John Boehner once we got Paul Ryan.
Right, yeah.
Paul Ryan had less character, less life experience. He was not somebody you'd want to have a beer with.
Right.
I don't know that he would want to have a beer with you. And so I kind of missed Boehner after we got rid of him and regretted having Paul Ryan. Here's the problem. The definition of speaker needs to change, not the speaker. The speaker of the House shouldn't be the fundraiser in chief for the majority party, but that's what they are.
Okay. It's always great to talk to you. We need to have you on more often. Is that what Leland used to call it, the segment?
Drain in the swamp.
No, the whole segment. Was there a name of the segment?
I don't know.
All right.
Just we can call our Sassy with Massey.
I hope you win your case, and then I hope Pelosi takes $500 in pennies and drops it off on your desk and goes, "Here's your damn money."
Oh, I got a floating idea past you. Term limits are tossed about, but none of you guys are ever going to vote for term limits. How about this? We grandfather term limits. People that are in for as long as they can be. Newly elected people, we go to 4 years in the House, so we're not campaigning every year, and stay at 6 years in the Senate, maximum 12 years.
I love that idea. In fact, the bill that I've introduced to get rid of pensions, the publicly funded pensions, would grandfather everybody in, because I realize people aren't going to give up their pensions. It would grandfather those in and put everybody else in a 401k type thing that you would have in the private sector.
Yeah.
So you're right. You got to make these changes. You may have to accommodate the guys who've been here 40 years.
Well, we'll get there at some point. And Thomas Massey, it's always great to talk to you. And we'll have you back on after your lawsuit's finished. Okay, man.
How's that old Tesla battery powering your house? How's that doing?
The Tesla battery. So I have a wrecked Model S Tesla battery in my basement that runs my house on cloudy days. I'm off the grid. But the latest thing I got to tell you about is I invented a chicken coop that moves itself every day to fresh pasture. Keeps the foxes and hawks from eating my chickens.
No.
But it had a battery in it, and the battery went dead after a full summer of charging and discharging. So I was like, I need to do this with capacitors. So I figured out a way to do it with capacitors. So it's called the Klux capacitor.
No, I can't. I can't.
If you drove by my farm today, and I'm not encouraging stalkers, but you would see a fleet of Klux capacitors with chickens in them traversing my field without me there and no batteries required.
I want to live there.
Is that slave labor with the chickens?
I want to live there.
The chickens are happy. They're actually happier inside because the dogs.
That's what the slave owner said, too.
Jeez, come on.
Poor chickens.
The chickens are happy on my farm. And they love the Klux capacitor.
Well, I got to tell you, the chickens, my sister has like 15, and she's dropping off cases of eggs all the time. They are delicious. They are so delicious.
Well, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but a lot of my chickens are meat birds, too.
Oh, darn it.
And they love it there.
Darn it.
Right up
they
until.
They love it for 8 weeks, and then they go to freezer camp.
All right. Thomas Massey, it's great to talk to you. We'll have you on soon. Have a great day, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious. The chicken coop moves.
Yes.
Back after this, News Radio 840 WHAS.